ideological pitfalls. Today, the propaganda machine of postmodern international consumerism is the result of more than a millennium of knowledge prohibition, spiritual manipulation, and systematically bred life hate. It is the newest and the most fashionable of our present-day socio-political ideologies. Consumerism blindfolds the masses surely in a sweeter way than the church's brutal knowledge prohibition that was enforced by the Inquisition and endless witch hunts. The sweetness and big promise of freedom as an integral part of consumer culture guarantees much higher effectiveness than coercion or brute force in repressing the original love wishes of the populace. This is so because, in fact, subtle media-based manipulation is used to innocuously replacing emotional and sexual longings by material longings for acquiring and possessing consumer goods. And when looking at it in a superficial way, I gain freedom when I exchange a part of my money in the bank with a nicely designed and smoothly running sports car, plasma television, or computer notebook. I gain creative freedom, can move around in a splendid way, comfortably, and can get a self-esteem boost through the admiration I receive from others for being an XY limousine owner or a VZ notebook owner. Besides that, I can write, compose, draw, and publish my media productions in fully using the creative possibilities of my notebook. This superficial observation, however, veils the fact that the overwhelming majority of limousine and notebook owners are not more substantially creative after buying these goods than they were before. Or, put differently, the truth is that my real freedom is not that I have money in the bank that allows me to buy or not buy consumer goods. My real freedom is to be able to live without working for anybody, without being a slave for 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. By the same token, my real freedom is my urge to be creative, constantly creative, and it makes no substantial difference if I use a notebook or write by hand on a simple sheet of paper. My real freedom, thus, is my spiritual drive or soul's desire to surpass my mere physical human condition and express my ideas or create art. When you take a deeper look, you see that the masses are cheated twice through the promises of consumerism. They, for the most part, do not have enough money in the bank or property or company shares, allowing them to live a meaningful existence without working for somebody. Thus, what indeed most people need and desire is freedom. Consumer culture promises this freedom, but let us see what it boils down to. For acquiring the goods that will grant me some form of creative freedom, I need money. For acquiring the money that I need to buy these goods, I need to work. And work more than usual because I need a surplus of money, a lot more than the amount I anyway need for food, clothes, and shelter, or the education of my children. How to get this amount of surplus money? Through effort, increased effort, and still more increased effort. Thus, in order to expand myself more within consumer culture, I in fact need to curb myself more. For every dollar of surplus money, I need to work relatively harder than for the same dollar of money covering my basic human needs for food and shelter. Of course, this reality is blinded out by publicity, and one essential task of publicity is exactly to blindfold the consumer, suggesting that the acquisition of goods is smooth and easy, using consumer credit as the ultimate backdoor for climbing on the bandwagon. However, it has been shown by leading financial consultants that the consumer credit is the single most destructive form of credit there is in the economy. This is so because the consumer credit, contrary to the business credit, is not backed up by an increase of productivity, but in the contrary needs a constant, almost superhuman effort to produce the surplus of financial resources needed to pay back the credit. It is a time bomb. This is so much the more embarrassing when the duration of the credit surpasses the average lifespan of the consumer good. For example, when my computer notebook is trash after 2 years because of the swindling progress in IT technology, and I need 4 years of credit duration to finance it, I will use 2 years of my life to pay for something that I do not use anymore and that does not give me any more freedom or creativity value. Of course, you may still use your notebook, but you are highly incited to sell it for a very low price and buy a new model using another consumer credit. This is how in very credit-intensive consumer cultures, such as the United States, people who seem well-to-do on first sight actually are often caught in a net of credits that, if the slightest thing happens that disturbs the credit payback cycle, the card house crashes and people who were enjoying life yesterday today plan to suicide themselves. It is not a Marxist idea, then, to say that this system incarcerates the ignorant masses in pretty much the same false beliefs than previously the religious case did with their endless taboos. Marx and Engels have brilliantly analyzed the destructive effects of capitalism, but acting on these insights brought about governmental regulation, prohibition and coercion, unfreedom, persecution, and even torture. And all this justified by the initial intent to prevent the masses from indebting themselves destructively. That's how it goes. These policies were wrong and ineffective because they disregarded the basic human need for distinction and the readiness of human beings to give sustained effort and even sacrifice themselves for a higher quality of life, a higher social status, academic or scientific distinction, opportunity for travel, more popularity or a greater circle of friends and acquaintances. Clearly, these values are not commercial, and what the communist ideologies have overlooked is that the human being does not per se strive for money or for accumulating money or other riches. What people strive for is the creative freedom that wealth brings, and they do so with very good reasons, with the main reason namely that this freedom is real freedom and not the fake freedom of consumerism. Modern culture has no idea of how to live a happy life. It replaces true happiness with fake values that suggest consumer satiation being the ultimate enjoyment in life. I have a new car, refrigerator and air condition, a home theater, and the walls of my garage covered with books. I am a well-read and cultured person. I work hard and go to the gym in my free time. I am married with a wife and 3 children. My wife works. My children go to school. I am a happy citizen. I have a family. I have values. I have convictions. I have possessions. I have. Possessions-based lifestyle kills every form of culture. And when you look at modern life, you realize that it's not a culture, but a fake culture. That it's not based upon values, but upon fake values, and that the people on the stage are not humans, but marionettes. Postmodern international consumer culture is based upon the genocide of countless tribal populations who really knew what happiness is about and who lived happy lives until they were massacred by value-based and principle-ridden modern citizens.